Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity to speak today. I just closed an application. I have my lesson on it. There we go. It's good to see everyone this morning. Again, I'm always excited to share something that I've got to do quite often, and I have really enjoyed doing this. And of course, it's Father's Day. I looked up the last time I spoke on Father's Day. It was back in 2015. So, again, I enjoy seeing everybody here today. It's good to see our friend Matt Johnson today. Matt was actually my counselor back some 18 years ago back at camp. And also, he also has another connection. He was one of the roommates to Jason Hammond, who's my first cousin, right? So, right, there's a lot of connections there. So it is good to see everyone this morning. In one of our lessons, we recently talked about the idea of friend. And as we talked in our Bible study, I couldn't believe how important friend was and how often it was used. So this morning, I'd like to discuss the idea of friend. So I put together two lessons this morning. This first lesson is going to be the idea of friend. And since it is Father's Day, the second lesson is going to be friend and father, talking about our heavenly father and our earthly father. So I'd like to just start off by reading here in James. I like to keep this scripture in mind as we read throughout our entire sermon this morning. And it is in scripture filled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, as we get through this lesson, we'll see how important it is that he was called friend of God and how important it is for us to try also to be that friend of God. Now, as Roger's joked before, here at Waynesville, we always seem to give the definition of what these words mean before we continue on. So in keeping with the idea that we're going to give these definitions, friend actually has multiple definitions. And I like to just kind of go through those today. And some actually have relations back to Waynesville, and I'll kind of touch on this in a second, just as the town itself. So, friend is defined, it's actually got five definitions. One is defined as one attached to another by affection or esteem or an acquaintance. So this is kind of like the lowest level, it's just an acquaintance. Two, one that is not hostile, is he a friend or an enemy? One that is the same nation, party, or group. In the military, if the same side kind of fires against the other side, they call that friendly fire, right? You know, somebody shooting at you. Friendly, but it's on the same side. And as I said, we're going to get deeper and deeper into these definitions. Three is one that favors or promotes something or a charity is a friend. A favored companion. Get deeper into that definition as well. And also, as defined, this is Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it's also defined, when it's capitalized, a member of a Christian sect that stresses inner light, rejects sacraments, and an ordained ministry, an opposer of war. This is also called Quaker. Now, Waynesville was founded in 1797, but in the 1820s, Waynesville is a very heavy Quaker community. Our old facility that used to be on 3rd Street was right down the street from this large home at the end, and it was called the Friends Home. Well, that's where it got its name, was from the Quaker community name of Friend. So I just wanted to mention that because that we used to go sing at the Friends Home. We actually still go sing at the Quaker Church. A Quaker retirement community, but this idea of this Quaker, they used to invite us in, and we used to give sermons and sing there at this facility. So it has kind of a long history with the Waynesville Church. So with that said, when we think of friend or friendship this morning, I try to think where my friends, my acquaintances that I've had friends with, where I've associated them with. Now, I love music. Roger and I were just talking about this before services started. I love music. I love playing music. I've played guitar for a long time. You know, so music. I think people are acquainted or have friendship maybe over music. We may also have friends from work. I just try to pick a generic picture. I don't know where this job is, but everybody looks like they're extremely happy. I know these stage pictures makes me think, hey, this group works together. I love coffee, so I've had a lot of acquaintances over coffee. We actually have people that roast coffee at where I work, and I've become friends with those people because they know that I enjoy it. I think of recreation, of sports. I was even thinking camp, about how we see our friends at camp and these acquaintances. We enjoy doing these like things. Or with church and reading the Bible, we have friends and brothers. And as you can see, as you go through this, we actually have a deeper relationship as we move through these sections. And that kind of brings to mind the terms that are used in the Bible. So in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, we have friend or friendship or being friendly comes from two Hebrew roots, RH and HB. Now, my machine was having problems actually me putting the actual Hebrew symbols up here. So in between these, I was supposed to have the Hebrew symbols. But I can't read Hebrew, so it wasn't going to make much difference this morning. Also in the Old Testament, we have re or friend or obed. A principle of meaning for one who loves. Now, that's in the Old Testament. In the Greek of the New Testament, we have a couple other words. Now, in the New Testament, we have philos, or friend, heteros, companion or comrade, and pleison, neighbor, also with a variety of kinship terms as brother, mother, child, extended to refer to people outside of one's family, or whom one feels special affection. So we can kind of get this idea of friend. When the term friend is used, it's used in multiple ways. And I'm going to prove these points as we go through this text this morning. The term also uses philos as friend and adelphos, or brother, sister, which comes to the technical term from a fellow believer. Now, we can put these terms together and get Philadelphia, right? The city of brotherly love. And I believe this is where we were talking last time about where these two words connect to love and brother. We have Philadelphia. Now, we think of Philadelphia is the city that has the Liberty Bell, you know, where the Declaration was signed and all that kind of stuff. I used to work for a company that was downtown Philadelphia. This was our building. And I think when we were talking last time, I'm like, I don't feel brotherly love when I have to go downtown. I don't know if you've been to Philadelphia. It's not that bad, but I sure didn't feel that way. So we have this idea of brotherly love. We have the city named after it. And also in ancient Greek, we have some other cities named Philadelphia. So like I was mentioning before, we're going to kind of build off this idea of friend. So there's three components of friends. We'll kind of talk about these components this morning. So if we were to break down each section of friend, we have the association, loyalty, and affection. Each one kind of builds on the other. So we have an association, just like hi, friend. We have loyalty, where somebody is loyal to that person, and then affection. Now, it's hard to have affection without having loyalty and association, so you see how these build. So again, the three levels of meanings in biblical terms would be friendship, association only, friendship as an association plus loyalty, and friendship as association plus loyalty plus affection. And we're going to go through each of these layers to kind of get an idea of how what friend means. So let's look at the first level. We have an associate. The lowest level of friend is simply an associate or the other fellow. Now, I had several verses that we could look at so we could kind of build this idea off of. So we're going to start by just looking at a couple verses, but I have got plenty. If anybody's interested in this, I found books on friendship in the Bible. But I'm just going to use just a couple this morning just so we can associate terms. So I'm actually going to be using a parable to talk about the association term, a friend. So in Matthew 11 through 14, I'm going to read that real quick and we'll look at this association. So this is the parable of the vine dresser. But when the king came in to see his guest, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment on. So he said to him, "Friend, how do you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And the king said to the servant, bind his hands and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called out, but few are chosen. So you can see where this terminology of friend was used. This guy clearly wasn't a friend. He wasn't prepared and he wasn't ready. He did not have his wedding garment on. This literally was just an association. Hello, friend. That's an association. Now, there's another association that's used with this term. There is the term when Jesus addressed Judas. Now, I found this very interesting. This is coming from Matthew 26, 48 through 50. Now, his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whoever I kiss, he is the one that sees him. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. The word there was an association. This association. Now, that's the high level meaning to associate with. Now let's look at some of the other meanings. Now the next meaning was loyalty. So loyalty, it's actually in several verses here with loyalty. To a king, we have loyalty here and multiple verses. Now these people were the ones who were David's advisors, and any time they spoke of David or the king, they referred to him as friend. Now, his advisors worked for him, so they considered him a friend or friend of. Now, I can build on this idea just a little bit. When we talk about Pilate and Caesar, building on the idea of friend. So Pilate and Caesar, we get this from John 19 and 12. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Showing that if he let Jesus go, he was not loyal to Caesar. So there's different roots of the word friend, as you can see here, that if that's why people were crying this out, you are not going to be the friend of Caesar's, whoever makes yourself a king, speak against Caesar. So they're trying to associate Caesar and Pilate and trying to make Pilate feel bad that he's not following the king by him saying that he's not a friend of. So that's association and loyalty. Loyalty, again, it goes back to kings. Association is just direct meeting somebody. Now, if we were to take each of these and build on one another, there's only two people in the Bible that I think that this lays out perfectly. So this association, loyalty, and affection. Now, I'm not sure if everybody remembers the friendship of David and Jonathan, but the friendship of David and Jonathan is used multiple times throughout scriptures to talk about this association, loyalty, and affection. So this comes from 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, and the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul, Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan took off his robe and was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. Now, Jonathan was an expert marksman with a bow. We have several verses supporting that as well. I found a verse last night when I was studying this that Jonathan was also on record as using a sling. I thought that was interesting, right? It's David and Jonathan both were good at using a sling. I wonder who taught the other. I just found that interesting about how close these people were together, these friends. Now, we kind of see this same idea with a man and a wife. I think here in Genesis 2 and 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and join to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So I was thinking of that idea of his soul was knit. You know, this idea of becoming one flesh. It's hard to talk about a friend without talking about a spouse. Now, there's many things that can happen with us and friends. You know, when I think over the years of some of the friends I've had friends being friends with me, and to this day, I have no idea why. I don't know if anybody else has ran into those issues, but I have. I've had friends stop being friends with me. I don't know why. I've had good friends just, you know, we kind of go our separate ways, and, you know, we say we'll be friends forever, but, you know, it's hard to follow up with that person. We have a lot of social media techniques today that we can help stay up with our friends. But friends can also maybe even lead us astray from God. So this was a warning here in Deuteronomy about friends. So if your brother or son of your mother or son of your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is your own soul, right? We just use that same terminology talking about David and Jonathan, about how their souls were knit together. Secretly entices you, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers of the gods of people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other and the end of the earth. You shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him." So, this is talking about a friend leading astray. And we have a couple records of friends leading astray. I think of the three friends that visited Job. So I read, you know, when I put lessons together, I'm like, hey, I have an idea. I've got an outline. You know, this will just take me a couple hours. You know, like 20 hours later, I have a lesson. And I kept reading back over this conversation with Job and his three friends. This extends over several. But I just wanted to read a couple verses because it does talk about this relationship that Job had with his friends. And if we think about that relationship where it's association, loyalty, and affection, these friends seem to have that. These friends seem to be a good friend of Job because of everything they did for him. They even sat with him for, I think, 5 or 7 days. So here in Job 2, 11 through 13, it says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all of his adversities, they had come upon him. Each one came of his own place, Eliphaz and the Temanite, Balad the Shittite, and Zipporah the Ammonite. For they have made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him." So again, that loyalty, that idea. "And when they had rose their eyes afar, they did not recognize him. They lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great." Now, this goes on and continues to say about how they seem to justify themselves, saying that he's done something wrong and that, you know, he's kind of made his own case against God at this point. And it seems like the friends have condemned him for doing something that Job's not really aware of. So these friends seem to be leading him astray a little bit. Like I said, this covers over several chapters, even to where on the end, God even asked those three people to go give an offering, you know, for what they've said and done. Because as these people are leading astray, I wanted to point this out too, because it mentions that these people are his three friends, but there seems to be other people there. And this other person that really wasn't accounted as a friend seems to point out where they were wrong. Elihu. So Elihu is overhearing all of this conversation from these three friends. But Elihu himself was never mentioned as a friend of Job. But I hope Job understands that he was trying to reach out as a friend to correct him. So in Job 32, 1 through 3, it says, "So these three men," the three men that I had mentioned earlier, "ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Bizite, of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against the three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer, yet had condemned Job." So I'm not sure if this person was a friend, But he surely was speaking out about the way that they were talking, about the way they were talking against God. So I was thinking that even today, you know, have we had somebody approach us or say something to us? Or have we had the opportunity to maybe point out where somebody was doing something wrong? I think of what preachers normally state when they stand up to give a lesson. They normally say, you know, you are my friend if you point out that I've done something wrong. Right? Because doing that is very important. Very important. So a friend can also, got a stack of verses here, they can pretend affection and loyalty for ulterior motives. We have warnings about that in Psalms. They can put you in debt, right? Pretending to be a friend. We have warnings about that in Proverbs and Psalms as well. They can break down through gossip. Proverbs 16:21. They can hold grudges and abandon you in trouble. These are things that we think of with earthly friends. However, like I mentioned before, that is like earthly or worldly friends. You know, if we were called the friend of God as Abraham was, we wouldn't have to worry about any of these pieces. We wouldn't have to worry about these sections causing us problems. Because we know if we're a friend of the world, James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that a friendship with the world is an enemy of God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So we see in this verse that we are not to friend the world, but to friend God. Because we are to be a friend of Jesus. We get that from John 15:13-15 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, or a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father I have made known to you. When thinking of verses for this lesson, I thought of how impactful this verse was and the importance of the term friend used. This is even saying that somebody is closer. Somebody is a friend of God. And somebody that is such a friend, they would lay down their life for us. So when we take a look at that verse, we think of John 15:13-15, what I just read there. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friend. I think it's interesting that came from John 15. And in 1 John 3:16 it says, By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We know that Jesus laid down his life for us, to call us friend. For we are also to be a friend in Jesus, even in his death. So in Romans 6:4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we know to put on Christ through baptism, and that we want to be a friend of Jesus. Now, like I was talking earlier, there is no greater love than to give your life for a friend, and to think that Jesus gave his life for all of us. So in closing this morning, I'd like just to keep those thoughts in mind about what it is to be a friend and what it is to be a friend of Jesus, because Jesus gave his life for us. And all we need to do is become baptized to be a Christian with him. And if you'd like to be baptized or have anything for the church, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.